mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I was seeking the Lord on what to share with you this morning, and this came to me. So everybody say, I need this. Come on, I need this. Come on. So I'm going to receive this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. Glory to God. We're in contact with Marcy and Kimmy about the service, and we just want to support them and be out here and just tell them and share our love with them, and they're doing well, but they just can need our love. Amen. So it will be in the afternoon after service, because that's a Sunday, so it'll be after the service. Probably about two or three. We haven't worked out those details yet, but we'll let you know. John chapter 8, and look at verse, let's look at verse 30. John chapter 8, verse 30. Amen. And I'll get there in a minute. And he spoke these words, many believed in him. And he said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've said this often before, but I'm just going to repeat it real quick, that this, not everyone qualifies for the truth making you free. Because it's not those who believe, it's those who are disciples. And a disciple is a disciplined follower. In other words, if you're not disciplining yourself to do what he said to do, the truth will evade you. And there's no freedom outside of the truth. Hello? I want to talk to you this morning about your well-being. Your well-being, my well-being, it's all tied to the truth. The truth and well-being, glory to God. But the first step is that we have to understand that I need to become a disciple of the Lord. And what does that mean? That I'm a follower of his teaching. In other words, if he said it, that's my standard. If he suggested it, I'm going to go for it. That I'm going to discipline myself to it because your flesh won't want to. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said your flesh will not want to. You'll find excuses for not doing it. But if you're a disciple, you'll say, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't really want to, but I'm going to. Why? Because when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I didn't do it just to get my ticket punched to get to heaven. I did it because I want to obey him and show him the love that I have for him. I can remember when I first got saved, and I got saved out of doing all kinds of different things. I was in the world, and I was good at being in the world and doing lots of things in the world. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, it wasn't a matter of me quitting doing the things that I was doing. It was a matter of I want to please him because he loves me. I've experienced what it knows to be in a relationship with God, and I knew the price that he paid, even though I couldn't define it, but I knew that he loved me, and I chose, watch this, I chose to be with him. But I'm all in. Everybody say all in. If I'm a disciple, then I'm going to learn what he wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to 3 John, and let's look at this. This is really interesting. How many like life to go well? How many prefer it going well than bad? How many think that it going well is just a matter of luck? Come on. It's, you know, some people are lucky and some people are not. Some people are blessed and some people are not. That's not the truth. Look at verse 1 of 3 John. It says, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Oftentimes we'll quote 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But you see, what the Apostle John was dictating here is this man was a man who not only knew the truth, but he walked in the truth. In order for you to be prosperous, you must walk in the truth. Let me say that again. You must walk in the truth. You will not be free unless you're doing what he tells you to do. Unless you're being who he tells you to be. Come on. How many want to life to go well with you? You got to do the right thing. You can't do the wrong thing and expect to get the right result. Hello? I need to know the truth. How many know that it's hard sometimes to tell yourself the truth? Hello? Have you ever been in a fight with somebody that you know, that you love? And you're right, right? I know I'm right, I'm not changing. Well, if that's your attitude, then you're probably not a candidate to really hear the truth. Because all you want is your perspective of the truth. Where it takes a humble person and a person who's really seeking after God to say, God, what's your truth in this situation? And then when God reveals your His truth to you, you have to change. I mean, even if you're 95% right, which most of us are all the time, right? 94% right, 95, listen, we have to come to the place where we say, Lord, I want to be responsible for that 5% of truth that I'm not walking in. Come on, if you want your life to be well, then you have to be a person who seeks for, wants, and will obey the truth. Come on. How many know that there is truth? It's not relative. What is relative truth? That means your truth is your truth, and your truth is your truth, and nobody can really know the truth. We have the truth. Come on. We have the truth. It's right here. I don't know what to do. Well, the beginning stages of knowing what to do is to become discipled in this. Because this is His Word. I said, this is His Word. Did you know when you open the book, when we opened it today and you looked on your tablet or you looked wherever you looked on the screen, that you were in the presence of God? In John chapter 1, it said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in order to be walking free, you've got to be one who seeks the truth, no matter if it points out that you're wrong. It's okay to be wrong, but it's not okay to stay there. It's not okay to continue to act there. Yeah, but you don't understand what they did. You don't understand what she said. You don't understand what he said. You don't understand the situation and how I got here. It doesn't matter. What matters is the truth. Everybody said they wanted to have life well. They wanted to have a good life. They wanted life to go the way it was planned. It can't outside of the truth. And we have to be ones that are after the truth, no matter what the truth is. And again, I think that it's safe for us to just assume that we could be not quite right. Right? That there is a possibility that we may be in error in what we think. Hallelujah. If we want to be free, we have to be super, super, super aware of the fact that God's truth is the truth, and that's what I need to live by. Amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to be free. Well, then what you're saying is I want to know the truth. Listen to what prosper means. He said again in verse 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now look at, your soul has to prosper for you in order for you to prosper. What does that mean? You have to renew your mind to what the Word says. Now watch this, watch this. What does it mean to prosper? It means to grant prosperous and expeditious journey. To lead by direct and easy way. To grant a successful issue, to cause to prosper. To prosper, to be successful. Right? Now, when we read this, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Some people have carried that so far out, they say, well, that means that you're supposed to be driving a Rolls Royce and living in a mansion. If you do, that's great. But what you have is not really the determining factor of whether you're successful or not. It's what you do with what you have. If you've known the truth, what are you doing with the truth? Are you changing to the truth? Are you waiting for something to happen that will just get you blessed outside of the truth? Lord, you know I'm just this way because I'm this way, and your mercy and your grace over me, blah, 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 blah. You'll never be free with that kind of attitude. Lord, I see that this is in me. I need it out of me, and I can't seem to do it on my own. But whatever I need to do, I'm going to humble myself before you because the truth is the truth, and freedom is what I want, and so I want to be in the truth. You got it? Hallelujah. Go to Psalm, the first Psalm. First Psalm. I want to prosper. I believe that the definition of biblical prosperity is this, that having your needs so abundantly supplied that you're able to give to anybody that needs it. Right? And that doesn't just mean money. That doesn't mean just food. That means wisdom. That means love. That means joy. That means peace. That I have such an abundant supply, I can give mine away and it won't keep me bankrupt. Right? That's prosperity. Prosperity is being so full of God that you can give it away and know that you've got more in the tank. Come on. I just needed to define the term. Hallelujah. Does God mind you having money? No. He definitely minds money having you. Right? Right? And you don't have to be rich for money to have you. Broke people have the love of money. Hello? So money is not the issue. Your heart is the issue. Come on. Hallelujah. I want to prosper and be in health, Lord, even as my soul prospers. But in order to do that, Lord, I need to make myself aware of the truth and to do the truth. Come on. Hallelujah. How many have ever prayed, Lord, show me my heart? Anybody ever pray that? Lord, I just need you to show me my heart. Show me where I am. Show me how I am before you. And you know what he does oftentimes, and I'm not discouraging you from praying that prayer because I think it's a good one, is he'll bring people to you that irritate the fire out of you. Show me my heart, and somebody pushes your button. Why? Because God's trying to get you to the place where you understand some of the things that need to change in you. I want the truth, Lord. No, you don't. As the movie said, you can't handle the truth because you won't do what needs to be done. Verse 1, it says, blessed is the man. Everybody say blessed. How many would rather be blessed than cursed? Come on, blessed, blessed. You came here this morning to be blessed with the Word, and I believe you're being blessed with the Word if you'll receive the Word. Glory to God. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Is that truth? Let me ask that again, because only two people answered. Is that the truth? If that's the truth, then we have to heed the truth. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly? Who are you listening to? Oh, I only listen to Christians. Yeah, but are they gossiping? Are they bitter? Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Nor stand in the path of the sinners. Come on, who are you hanging with? Right? Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Quit being around negative people all the time. Quit being around hopeless people all the time. Start magnifying God in your situation rather than testifying of how down you are. How about start lifting up the name of Jesus? And if you're not in a good place, remember where He brought you out of to a good place. And get back to that good place. I just want to praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. We just want to praise Him. We want to get back. We were singing some of those songs. And I was just going, yes, Lord. Praise. I want to be in a position of praise. Why? Because if you're in the praise, watch this, you're outside of the presence of the scornful. You're not sitting in the, come on, you're in good company. I want to be affected by good company. Verse 2 says, but his delight, everybody say delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night? I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Most of you raise your hand, if not all of you, that you'd rather be blessed than cursed. The truth is, if you want to be blessed, then you have to meditate on his word. When? Day and night. If it's not day, it's what? If it's not night, it's what? So is that all the time? What does it mean to meditate in the Word of God? Here's what it means, is think about it, talk about it, mutter it. The word actually, meditate means to mutter. What does that mean? It means talk to yourself, which you do all the time anyway. Listen, if you hit your nail with a hammer, you'd talk to yourself, wouldn't you? Right? So meditate means to mutter. What does that mean? I'm taking the Word of God and I'm thinking about it and I'm talking about it. And how does that look? Father, even if everyone goes astray, I will follow you in Jesus' name. Lord, your Word is a light unto my path. And Father, whatever you say to do, that's what I'm going to do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What does that mean? That I'm sticking with it. I'm not moving from it. I don't know if you've seen a tree by the river, but they don't move. I'm not from Oklahoma, but I've been in Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, watch this, in Oklahoma, there's a lot of plains. What does that mean? Flat, dusty, dry. But every once in a while, you'll see a river or a creek, or crick, as they say, but a creek, right? And by the crick or the river, you'll see trees up. And those trees will have foliage on them, and they'll look beautiful in their shade, right? Why? Because they stayed where the water was. They dug. Listen, the water, sometimes the creek beds were dried up, but their roots went down far enough to get down to where the water was, and they stayed right there. Why? Because it was the water that gives them the life that allows them to grow. Listen, you want to know the truth, you got to stay in the Word. You got to meditate on the Word, and you've got to let the Word of God be the thing on your mind rather than the circumstances that you're in. Come on. This is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. I get it. But if you're meditating on that, you won't be prospering. You won't be free. You won't be well. You have to meditate on the Word of God. Listen, how many know that we're living in a time where it's almost like, what's going to happen next? Right? I mean, we've got Ukraine, the situation that's going on there. They're talking about chemical, biological weapons, and even the big nuclear weapon. Could happen. What are you going to do? I'm going to stand by the water. I said, I'm going to stand in the water. I'm not moving from the water. I'm going to be in the water. That's where I'm going to be. Why? Because I want my life to be well. Well, what if everything blows up? I'm going to believe that He shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to learn that whatever state I'm in, therein to be content because He's with me. Come on. If I want to be well, I've got to be in the truth, and the truth has got to be in me. And not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. And you know when you have a heart knowledge, when you're acting on it and not just saying it. Glory to God. And not just the feel-good scriptures, all of them. Because I want the truth. I said I want the truth. Go to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Hallelujah. I've just decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Verse 20, verse 1, it says this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Anybody need His answer? Anybody in trouble? Anybody got trouble? Come on. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. May He send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Come on, we're talking about prosperity here. We're talking about, well, life being lived out well. This verse says, may He grant you according to your heart's desire. Your heart's desire has to be Him. And out of that desire, He'll give you your purpose. Now, here's what we think oftentimes. If God's given me a purpose, then everything should be well. If God's given me a purpose, then my life should be easy. If God's given me a purpose, then I shouldn't have any troubles. Well, let's see. Jesus had a little bit of trouble. The apostles had a little bit of trouble. On and on and on. There's going to be trouble. Why? Because Satan, who's come to kill, steal, and destroy, is your adversary. And he's got a lot of help from people you know. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, "Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed, and He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, and we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call." You see, when you're standing on God's promises and you're standing in His Word, then you're in a position for Him to defend you and to do what He said He would do. Hello. Hello. And for me and my house, we're going to continue to stand on God's Word whether anybody likes it or not. We're going to do what God wants us to do whether anybody likes it or not. We're going to call sin, sin, and we're going to call, come on, what He said in His Word true, whether it's popular or not. Because God hasn't changed His mind. Now, I want to caveat that a little bit with, I need to be in His Word to find out what His Word says and not what my tradition has said about His Word. In other words, sometimes we go, well, this is what the Word of God says. No, that's what the preacher told you the Word of God said. And where we need to be is, no, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are You saying in this? Because if You're saying something different than what I know to be true, I'm going to change my truth to what You're saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like there's some people, and I've heard it, some traditions go that women are supposed to keep absolute silence in church. They should never get up in church. You should never see them up on the... But you know what? You get into the Word of God and you find out, wait a minute, there were women preachers in the book of Acts. There were women... Come on. And you begin to... And so, oh, wait a minute. That truth is not truth. So I have to come back to the truth. But if I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that that's where women were supposed to be, I would have to do that even if everybody got mad at me. Because I want His truth. I want His truth more than to be popular. Go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Glory to God. He's worthy of our praise, amen? He's worthy not only of our praise, He is so holy and so correct that He is worthy of us submitting to Him completely. 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 And not justifying when we don't. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. It says, "Show me Your ways, O Lord, and teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me. For You are God of my salvation. On You I wait all day long." Is that our prayer? Is that our desire? Is that really what we want? Because again, if we want to have well-being, we have to walk in the truth. And if we walk in the truth, we have to have Him reveal the truth to us. Let me read that again. "Show me Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation." That's a big G there. In other words, He's not your, you know, He is your friend, but He's a friend who has a position that's much higher than yours. This means I need to submit to Him over everything else. I need Him to be the Lord of my life. I need Him to be the God of my salvation and put everything else aside. Let me read that again. "Show me Your ways, O Lord." Anybody ever pray that? Do you mean it? Well, has it changed you at all? Because if it hasn't changed you, you don't mean it. Let me preach over here. If you come on. If you hasn't changed, you don't mean it. Lead me in your truth. Look at verse 10. It says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord. Lead me, Lord. He's not going to do it outside of truth and mercy. I need to be led by the Lord. I need God's leading in this. He's not going to do it outside of truth and mercy. So, Lord, I'm going to get in the path where truth and mercy are. The paths of the Lord are truth and mercy to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. See, until you get to the place where you get to the place where I know that I've been in iniquity here, that I was wrong. And you repent from that wrong. But listen again, repentance, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How many have had people tell you they're sorry for about 10 or 15 times? When is the time that you chose not to believe it? Probably after the second or third. Because if somebody doesn't change their behavior, they're not really sorry. They haven't repented unless they do something different. So when we come to the truth of His Word, we have to change and not, you know, God, can't you forgive me this one time? Lord, you said to bless my enemies. One time, Lord, just one time, God, can I just knock them out? Only if you do it in love. I need to know the truth. Go to Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm helping me. Glory to God. I need the truth. I need the truth of His Word because I need His answers. I need to make sure that I'm doing what He wants me to do. Romans 1 and verse 18 says this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So if it's unrighteous, it's not truth. I don't care if Fox News, CNN News, you know, ABC News, anybody says that this is right, if it's not in line with God's Word, it's wrong. And listen, I don't know if you know this, but there's coming a day when God is going to straighten it all out. There's coming a day when God is going to come down from heaven and Jesus is going to put His foot and He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem and the truth will be known and the truth will be what the truth is and your opinion will not matter. Your opinion does not matter unless it's based on the Word. Verse 19 says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, they're without excuse. All the unrighteousness, everybody that's, you know, God's in them. Listen, when you were a kid and you stole that first piece of candy because mom wasn't looking, you knew it was wrong because you didn't tell her you were taking it. Hello? Your heart can get hardened, but the truth is, stealing that candy was wrong. If you want to be free, you got to come to the position that stealing that piece of candy is wrong. Anybody ever struggle with certain things? How many know that the Bible says that lust is wrong? And I'm not talking about just sexual lust. One of the Ten Commandments is do not covet. Right? So what do you need to do when you're coveting? Repent. Understand the seriousness of it and say, listen, that's not how I'm going to live because I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and He said not to covet, therefore I'm not going to covet. Why? Because I want to be free. Freedom! Listen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Is that true? Not necessarily. The Spirit of the Lord can be in a place, but you're not in a position of truth, there won't be freedom. Jesus walked with 12 disciples. How much freedom do you think was there in the Lord? Come on. But there was Judas. I believe, now don't misunderstand me, the anointing gets strong when His presence is strong. And freedom is there. I've seen addiction broken. I've seen, you know, marriages. I've seen all kinds of things happen in the presence of God. But the reality is that we have to have the Spirit and truth. Jesus said there's coming a day when those who worship Me won't worship Me in Jerusalem or in Port Orchard, but they'll worship Me in spirit. Now that word spirit can be many different translations, but just for my sake today, those who will worship Me in their heart, out of their heart, those who worship Me in spirit and in truth, from their heart with truth. Are we seeking after that truth? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It said, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. See, if your mind is still blinded, then you can't have the freedom that's in Christ. But I'm right. I know I'm right. I've got three people who agree with me that I'm right. Right? And said, no. Lord, I want to seek You to know what You say, because I don't want my mind veiled for the freedom that Christ has set me free from. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And look at verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It's not provoked, it thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in what? It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, God wants us to operate in His love. And He's given us the capacity to walk in His love. But the love is always looking for the truth. I want the truth, Lord. Your truth, not necessarily my truth. Glory to God. I meditated on these verses over and over again when I first got saved. And there was one that stood out to me. It's out of the Amplified version of this. But it says, love believes the best of every person. I've tried to make that my standard. Love believes the best of every... What does that mean? Does that mean that everybody comes through as perfect? But I believe in their imperfection, there's better. If they're exposed to the truth and they'll submit to the truth, they'll be better. And I never give up. Come on. We've watched and I've watched. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I've watched and you've watched people who've come and gone, come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. And you tell them the truth and they keep acting the way they're acting and they still get the same results and they're not prospering in their life. Their life is not going very well, but they keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. What's my response? My response has to be, I'm going to tell you again. And 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 I'm going to tell you again. Why? Because it's the truth. And when you get under the truth and begin to act on the truth, that's when you'll be free of this very thing that's killing you and making this situation happen in your life over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I could go into so many different avenues where that is true. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. It says, but now you must come. He's talking about an offering that they were agreed to do. He said, but now you must also complete the doing of it, that there was a readiness, a desire to do it, so it may also be completion out of what you have. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased for your burden, but in an equality, how that at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance may also supply your lack. In this way, there may be equity. Now this is talking about an offering that's supposed to be sent to help the folks that are suffering in Jerusalem. But this has to do with everything. If I want to be in a place where I can be a blessing to you, then I have to know the truth and submit to the truth for myself so that I can pass it to you. And then I have to submit myself to the truth that you know so that you can be a blessing to me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because God said that above all things, He wished for you to prosper, to be well, even as your soul prospers. Glory to God. How many want to be blessed? Then know the truth, do it, and you will be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get anything this morning? What are you going to do about it? Glory to God. It's not the word you hear. It's not the word that's anointed. It's the word that you do that makes a difference. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing is upon your word. And you've anointed me to declare your word. And I've done that this morning, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're touching hearts, whether online or in person, God, that you're changing us from glory to glory, that more and more, Lord, we're beginning to become like you. And Lord, we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory. If you're in this room or if you're listening online and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today's the day. There's nothing to hold you back. You must submit yourself to Him. You must come to the place and know the truth. The fact is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that could stand in God's presence and say, it's because I did so well that I deserve to be here. The only thing that gets us there, the only thing, is because the one who knew no sin, Jesus, died in our place. And when we accept Him as Lord, He covers our sin. He takes our sin away. So the only reason that I could even be called righteous or in right standing with God is because I said, I've sinned and I need Jesus to be my Savior. If that's you today, just call out to Him and He will touch you. He will be with you. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess or say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall, will, and most assuredly be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us online. God bless you. Amen. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll one worship song and then we'll dismiss. And listen, while